Welcome to the Placebo Magic Podcast, the podcast about theatrical spiritual practice for atheists. I'm your host, Durmok, the wizard and peasant lord of this vast 10-acre realm of Hobdur, also known as Farm Code Gary, also known as Garrison Benson.
Greetings, placebo mages. Today, using magic to set stronger boundaries against problem people like your ex, your boss, or even your parents. But first, I'd like to give a shout out to our new Patreon backers, Stacey Efimov and Ash. Also, thank you to all of our patrons at the producer level or above, Kyle Fisher, Red Rum Soda Pop, Annie Wallach, Ash, H, Joshua C. Betts, Stacey Efimov, and Goon. If you'd like to support the show through Patreon, head to patreon.com/placebomagic. That's magic with a CK at the end. By supporting the show at $1 per episode, you'll gain access to the back catalog of Patreon-exclusive bonus episodes. In our most recent bonus episode, we discussed choosing a magical name and title. Come join the discussion on the Placebo Mages Guild Hall Discord server. Check out the show notes for your invite link. One of the most ancient uses for magic is to curse the people who've hurt us and to ward against future harm. But as placebo mages, we know that our magic can't control anyone else. It only works by impacting our own psychology. So what would be the point of cursing someone or warding against them? The reality is that oftentimes we underestimate the extent to which changing our own behavior will change others' behavior toward us. And we underestimate the extent to which changing our beliefs will naturally change our own behavior. Furthermore, we underestimate the extent to which we can change our own beliefs. So, using the brain-hacking tools of placebo magic, we can change our unconscious beliefs and thus change our behavior, and thus influence the behavior of other people towards us. Real quick, I'd like to point out that there's a big difference here between victim-blaming and victim-empowering. In some corners of the occultist sphere, for instance, within the law of attraction, there's a tendency to claim that if something bad happens to someone, then they must have somehow attracted it. They must have been asking for it. Which is not only incorrect, it's also incredibly unhelpful. That said, when we're in a bad situation, it is important to identify any amount of power that we do have and to wield that power. So while we avoid victim blaming, let's be careful not to ignore or diminish the power that we do have. In the broader witchcraft community, there's a lot of discussion about the ethics of magic to control others. Is it okay to take away someone's free will? What if they're an evil person, like an abuser? This is one of the many, many ways in which it's actually easier and more fun to be a placebo mage. We know we can't actually take away someone's free will using magic, so as far as that's concerned, the ethics are a non-issue. The question is whether we'll live our lives on autopilot and let other people walk all over us, or whether we'll take full advantage of our own free will and set stronger boundaries. There's one ethical issue that remains, however, which we'll touch on later in the episode. Theoretically, we could divide this sort of magic into two categories, defensive spells and offensive spells, but in reality the distinction is kind of arbitrary. It's just a question of which metaphor is more helpful for a given situation. When you use a spell to attack someone, you're really just attacking the specter of that person that's been living rent-free in your head. If you've given someone way too much power over your happiness, someone who isn't worthy of your trust, then start by attacking to drain their power, attacking that specter. Then, switch to defense when you've gotten the situation under control. Just like if you're reclaiming a neglected garden, you start by focusing your energy on pulling weeds, attacking, but then you shift to focus on preventing weeds, defending. First, I want to look at when to use magic against other people, and then after that, we'll get into the brass tacks of how. So when should you reach for this sort of magic? Let's start with the most obvious example, abusers. If they're still in your life, you can use magic to help draw the strength to cut them out. If you've already cut them out, then you can use it to help exorcise their lingering voices from your head, whether that's the voices of your parents belittling you, your ex telling you that nobody else could ever love you, your boss cussing you out, or whatever else. I should say here that using placebo magic is not a substitute for getting professional help if you're dealing with abuse or the psychological aftermath of abuse, and you can check the show notes for a few resources in that department. It's also not a substitute for having trustworthy people around from whom you can draw strength. Think of magic as a supplemental tool. Seek professional help first, then you can think about how magic could help. Another obvious example is exes. So even if they weren't abusive, even if they were truly wonderful people, sometimes exes can live on in your head and drain your life force and prevent you from moving on and finding love again. Another target might be public figures. In the broader witchcraft community, there's been this sort of movement in the last few years of groups gathering to publicly hex Donald Trump or Harvey Weinstein or whoever. It's hard to say whether this is effective as a performative act of protest. I think probably not, as most people outside of that community just laugh it off. Personally, as a political leftist, I'm more interested in the question of how to stop Donald Trump from living rent-free in my head. If scanning the national headlines for a few minutes in the morning can follow my mood for the entire day because a few jerks and provocateurs succeeded at controlling the news cycle, then I'm just giving them additional power. I'm giving Donald Trump the power to make me cranky and thus to spread crankiness to my loved ones and to my neighbors and coworkers. It's important to be informed, at least to a certain extent, but it's also important to set limits on the power these people have over us. We've managed to evict Donald Trump from the White House. Now we need to evict him from our heads, and let's not give anyone else that much power over us in the future. On a related note, you also shouldn't be letting your political allies dictate your mood. There's an enormous amount of wrong and injustice in the world, but you can't actually help anybody if you're frittering away your energy being constantly bombarded by wave after wave of outrage. Outrage and anxiety might feel like the correct emotional responses to injustice, but ask yourself whether letting those emotions wash over your physiology day in and day out actually makes the world a better place or a worse place. In the fight against injustice, do you want to be a careless brawler drunk on outrage and causing massive collateral damage? Or do you want to be a balanced, disciplined warrior who has mastered the economy of energy? If you find it necessary to go on Twitter or watch cable news at all, please set your magical wards beforehand. You may even find it necessary to magically attack a political ally in order to reduce their power over you. You might agree with Stephen Colbert's positions and consider him an ally in the fight, but do you find yourself going to bed angry and stressed 5 nights a week after watching his show? If so, then you might need to hex Stephen Colbert. Whether in the sphere of political discourse or any other kind of online discussion, internet trolls are another great target for this kind of magic. What makes a troll is that they're looking for attention by trying to get a strong reaction out of you. Giving them that strong reaction gives them exactly what they're looking for. They feel empowered by their ability to make you unhappy. Don't make jerks and idiots more powerful by allowing them to steal your time and energy and to dictate your emotions. Set strong wards against internet trolls and use offensive magic as necessary to banish their voices from echoing in your head throughout your day. Now let's think about the workplace. I'm very fortunate that I've never worked for an organization that was straight up abusive or exploitative toward its employees, but in my experience, virtually any job, no matter how cushy, and virtually any boss, no matter how generous, will overtake your boundaries little by little if you don't actively defend them yourself. Ideally, this means that unless you're actually getting paid to be on call, don't answer the phone or reply to emails from work on your days off. Don't bring work home. Don't offer to come in on weekends. Don't do little work-related tasks from home when you're off the clock. Say no to extra projects that would compromise the quality of your regular work. But in practice, this is extremely difficult to do because as humans, we're pretty much hardwired to be people pleasers. On top of that, we live in a culture that idolizes self-sacrifice even when it doesn't serve any real purpose. With the help of ritual, you can rewire your instincts so that in the heat of the moment, you pause to think before you say yes or no. Or in the heat of the moment, you put up your boundaries when someone is unconsciously trying to spread their low self-worth to you through criticism or the like. I've titled this episode Magic for Problem People, and generally with the phrase problem people, we tend to think of jerks. But you can and should use this type of magic against anyone who is a problem in your life, regardless of whether their intentions are good or bad. Whether you have awful parents or wonderful parents, if you want to become an adult and have your own life, then you can't just wait around for your parents to set you free. It's never going to happen. You have to be the one to step up and set your own boundaries. From a mythic, imaginative standpoint, you have to slay your parents, which is to say you have to slay the idea of your parents and the power that that idea has over you. Whether that's your parents' religion or their standards or the way they spoke to you that lingers as a voice in your head, you have to destroy it. And then your actual human parents are free to just be frail old people that you may or may not choose to be friends with and take advice from. Likewise, your romantic partner doesn't have to be an abuser in order to hold too much power over you. You may have given them that power yourself, thinking that it would make them love you more. Or maybe you learned from 90s romantic comedies and sitcoms that true love is supposed to render you totally defenseless. Maybe somewhere along the way you internalize this idea that you were supposed to be less generous and respectful to yourself than to other people. This is wrong not only because it doesn't actually help you gain love and acceptance, it's also wrong because it makes the world a worse place. So, do you find yourself overanalyzing every little word of your partner's text messages? Do you find yourself losing touch with your own interests and your own tastes and preferences and just adopting theirs? Do you cancel plans with your other friends to spend extra time with your partner? Are you giving up on your own dreams and just following theirs? I think we tend to do this stuff without being asked to because instinctively we believe that we can buy love by demonstrating how eager we are to crap all over ourselves. The result is that your partner loses respect for you. A bad partner would take advantage of you in that situation. A better partner will encourage you to first take care of your own interests. If you're in this kind of situation, it doesn't mean that you have to end the relationship, and it doesn't mean you have to outwardly attack your partner. It does mean that you have to attack and destroy this false god that you've created in your mind, who just so happens to look and sound like your partner. Then your real-life human partner is free to be a source of happiness, not the source of happiness. If they're a keeper, then they'll be proud of you rather than angry. You can have similar situations with friends. Think of those friends who want you to go out and party with them on a Sunday night. Maybe they're your friends who constantly get you in trouble, but maybe they're just people who want you to feel included and they would graciously accept a no from you, but you put that pressure on yourself to say yes because you just really, really want to get closer to these people and you don't want to disappoint them. Whether they're awful people or wonderful people or anything in between, if they have that much power over you, then you need to attack the vampiric specters of those friends that are living rent-free in your head. Drain their life force, set your boundaries, and then enjoy your human friends. There's one more example I want to give here of when you need to use magic against someone, and it's when that someone isn't really a someone at all, or isn't really another person at all. I mentioned earlier that virtually any job and any boss will try to overtake your boundaries. That applies double when you're self-employed, and even more so if you work from home. In that case, this specter haunting the halls of your brain might look like your spouse being disappointed in you, or your kids blaming you for not getting an Xbox for Christmas, or it may just be a general sense of humanity judging you a failure if you ever stop thinking about work for 1 minute. Or it might look like the version of yourself you think you're supposed to be, the perfect, successful, smoking hot, super rich version of you who has time for everyone and every project, and that version of you is in your brain sneering at you, judging you for not measuring up to this abstract fantasy. So slay that parasitic specter with magic spells and rituals. Likewise, people who are long dead or long since cut out of your life can still haunt you for decades. Kill them with magic. Maybe you stopped believing in God years ago, but you still sense him judging your thoughts. Buckle up, baby. It's time to kill God. So the first step is to identify the target, whether they're a partner, an ex, a friend, a parent, a coworker, a boss, a politician, an internet troll, or your brutally high expectations for yourself or God Almighty. The point is to identify the image of who it is. The method to identify the target is mindfulness, metacognition. Watch your own thoughts. Watch whose voice is playing in your head, whose face is making a disapproving face at you, criticizing you, belittling you, offending you. Maybe that person was never actually mean to you in the real world and you've just been projecting your insecurities, but for our purposes today, it actually doesn't matter. We need an arsenal of different kinds of spells for different situations. There's an endless array of possibilities, but we're going to go over three specific examples, three specific broad categories of spells that can kind of cover your bases. First, we need a powerful one-time spell to banish the person from your emotional landscape, to drain their life force. So first, make a doll of the person. Because I'm frugal, I personally would make a paper doll, cutting out a gingerbread man-like shape from a brown paper bag. Draw that person onto the paper doll if you want, or else just write their full name across the doll's chest. If you have an item that's magically connected to them, such as a strand of hair or an old love letter, attach that to the doll. Visualize a magical thread connecting that person's soul to this doll. Remember, in placebo magic terms, a soul is just the imagined version of a person that lives in other people's heads. That's the sense in which souls live on after death, because the dead live on in others' imaginations. So by linking this doll to your target's soul, you're linking the doll to your true target, this parasitic demonic specter of that person who's been living rent-free in your head, feeding off of your life force. Now you have a choice. If you want this person out of your life permanently, then first actually cut the person out of your life. Then burn the doll in a bonfire and dance around the flames, naked if you like. Call on the moon and the stars and the spirits of the night as your witnesses. Don't forget to cackle. Watch the face of the doll distort as it's licked by the flames of hell. Next morning, bury the ashes somewhere that you'll walk past regularly. Mark them with a stone, like a grave. Or if you live in an apartment, you could put some of the ashes in a pot with a potted plant, or put some in a jar on your shelf. In any case, you'll want to create a visual reminder of this change that you made within yourself. If, on the other hand, you want to rehabilitate your relationship with this person, or if you really can't avoid interacting with them on a regular basis, or if you want to transform your fraught memories of a dead person so that you can just remember them fondly, in that case, put the doll in the freezer. This is like purgatory rather than hell. Place the doll front and center in the freezer so that it'll be the first thing you see every time you open the door. This serves as a constant reminder to continue transforming their relationship. You can place guards on the freezer door with magnets in the form of photos of trusted friends, these kind of friends that you would trust to check in on you, like, hey, you didn't text your ex, did you? So you'll keep this doll in the freezer until you decide that you don't need it anymore, but you can always put it back in the future if you need it again. The next type of spell that you'll need is a ward. This is something you wear or carry with you as you go about your day to block parasitic magic from other people. The more specific the target of the spell, the more effective it'll be. So while you could ward against negative energy just in general, it would be much more powerful to ward against, for instance, one specific coworker trying to pawn their work off on you. This is a spell that you renew each day on any day in which someone might try to overstep your boundaries. Create an amulet or a bracelet with some kind of secret symbol powering the spell. If you look up instructions online for creating chaos magic sigils, you could use one of those techniques to transform a phrase such as, don't text Dennis, into an abstract, magic-y looking symbol that you could wear around your neck. If you don't want to wear something, then draw a symbol on your breastbone or somewhere on your sword arm. Redraw this symbol every morning to refresh the power of the ward. There's one more category of spell that you'll need, and this is a spell to help you react to someone in the moment. The general idea is that you want to create a specific ritual that you can use in the moment in response to a specific situation. You're going to write this down as an if-then statement. For example, if my boss asks me whether I'm free to come in on the weekend, then I will take 3 deep breaths, summoning the power of my spirit helpers. During these 3 breaths, I will put my hands into my pockets and extend my middle fingers, my twin blades ready if they're needed. Then I will say that I'm not available. I will visualize a magical force field around my body. If my boss counters with something like, we're all making sacrifices. We're going to need all hands on deck. I thought you were a team player. His words will bounce off of the force field. I will respond by saying that I've already made a commitment for the weekend, and it's deeply important to me that I honor my commitments. I will remember in that moment that a commitment to myself is a commitment worth honoring. If my boss does not accept this answer, I will give my 2 weeks' notice on the spot. Most of the time, these spells need to be stealthy. I recommend subtle gestures, internal mantras, or visualizations. When you're reacting to things in the privacy of your own home, like for instance you're browsing the web and reacting to the latest story about Donald Trump, then feel free to use something a bit more theatrical. These reactive spells can be very difficult to remember in the moment. I would write down a detailed plan for how you'll react to a few of the most likely scenarios. Review your plan just before you interact with those people. Like if you're about to go into a meeting with your boss, spend a few minutes reviewing your plan for how you'll avoid volunteering for more projects. If you're going to a party and you think your ex might be there, right before you leave for the party, review your plan for how you'll react if your ex starts making eyes at you from across the room. We've gone over three types of spells: a one-time banishment spell that also creates a visual reminder, a daily warding spell, and a spell for heat-of-the-moment reactions. Feel free to adapt these basic formulas for your particular needs. There are two people in particular in my life that I've tried this sort of magic on. Both are active community members in the small town that I live in, people who I interact with regularly through both my service job and through my community involvement in my free time. They're not what you'd consider bad people, but they're entitled people who just happen to spread misery everywhere they go. In a small town, it's almost impossible to just cut people out of your life entirely unless you just want to become a drifter. So I needed a way to set stronger boundaries. First, I wrote each of their names in runes on small pieces of paper. I drew a sort of abstract representation of a magical dungeon, and I glued their names onto the middle of the dungeon, and I put this paper onto my vision board slash altar, which is like a cork board. I wore a simple stone amulet every day that I had enchanted with the power to help me guard against careless speech, partly to avoid getting into actual open conflicts with these people, but also to avoid apologizing for not meeting their unreasonable expectations that stemmed from entitlement. When one of their voices would pop into my head, I would put my hands into my pockets and put up my middle fingers. And in the event that I actually had to spend time with them in person, like in a meeting, for instance, I would visualize a force field around myself, and at times during the meeting, I would visualize my astral body wielding a flaming sword, slaying an endless stream of demons emanating from their bodies. This magic was pretty effective. Not only did it make me not care as much, which was the primary goal, it also made it possible to work with these people for some projects for the common good. Are they still problem people? Absolutely. Am I about to let my guard down against them? Not a chance. But the magic has worked, and gradually my defenses have become less ritualistic and more instinctive. I mentioned earlier that while we're not worried about encroaching on others' free will, there is one ethical consideration here. And that is that if you spend too much of your energy and time fighting people with magic or otherwise, then that will transform you into a monster. The purpose of fighting is for peace. There are some people too timid or idealistic to ever take up the sword, but there are others who are too fearful or too twisted to ever put down the sword, and those people are far worse. The purpose of banishing energy vampires from your mind and setting stronger boundaries is to create a kingdom of peace and love inside yourself. If you lose sight of that and spend all of your energy conjuring up placebo armies and placebo tanks and placebo nuclear weapons, then what is the point of it all? That's not a heart worth defending. Maintain your boundaries so that your heart is a safe and hospitable place for real love and real friendship and earnest goodwill toward humanity.
You can find the Placebo Magic Podcast and my poetry and other writing on the web at farmcodegary.com. Send your feedback to farmcodegary@protonmail.com and let me know if I can read your feedback on the show. Music is by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com and licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 license. You can support the show by giving us a review on your podcast app of choice, sharing an episode with a friend, or becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/placebomagic. Patreon supporters also gain access to our Patreon-exclusive bonus show. Remember, magic is a metaphor, and metaphor is magical.